For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Scott Morgan, and I want you to be honest with me. How much do you trust what I say? I ask because we're in the middle of two concurrent epidemics. One is the novel coronavirus, the other is questionable information. And an argument could be made that each feeds the other so well as to create one all-encompassing pandemic.
This is the biggest story, like maybe since World War II. But the problem is, it's a science story. And generally, most of us are not as well educated in that area as we want to be, and that would include journalists.
David Bulla is a professor of journalism at Georgia's Augusta University.
Furthermore, I think the biggest issue of all is the scientists themselves just don't know with confidence the things that we want to know with confidence.
So what you get is a maelstrom in a vacuum, an unprecedented contradiction in which billions of pieces of information about one thing are all talking about something we don't understand.
So there's frustration and there's fear. And when there's not a clear-cut solution, then people come up with their own solutions.
Okay, so let's talk about social media. Like it or not, we can all talk to as many people who will listen to us anywhere in the world all the time. Take one of Andrea Hickerson's relatives.
She posted an article from a news site. It was a local television station, and they had a couple doctors on there talking about how they felt like this was probably overblown. And then the reporter was there offering context and saying, you know, these are just two opinions. This is not what Dr. Fauci said. This is not what the CDC said.
Hickerson is the director of the School of Journalism and Mass Communications at the University of South Carolina.
And she posted on her Facebook page and said, I think this is true. And it's interesting because that's story had a lot of context. The reporters tried to bring in that other stuff, but yet she was saying, I think this was true. And that was the whole reason she was sharing that story.
So when you take a plague, remove certainty, add a ton of yet unanswerable questions, and open the channels of mass communication to everyone, the reaction is going to be emotional.
It's hard for us as human beings to separate our feelings and how we want this story to play out with what we're actually reading. So a lot of times when we're consuming news, we're consuming it with our own feelings and wanting to read it a particular way to begin with.
So now you take preconceptions and emotions and combine them with social media platforms.
If I'm on my phone, I'm more of a headline reader, and unless it's really compelling to me.
This is Bruce Clark. He's a project director at Digital Charlotte at the James L. Knight School of Communication at Queen's University. Like David Bulla and Andrea Hickerson, Clark pays attention to media messages for a living, and even he sometimes just consumes information in headline form. He might see a headline and bookmark the story so he can read a fuller article later on a larger screen than his phone. But not everybody can do that.
I anecdotally would say that communities that we work with where their only device is a smartphone would likely consume information in shorter bits and clips.
That mostly means rural communities, which often lack broadband access and multiple devices, and poor urban communities, whose residents often lack the resources to buy anything in addition to a monthly cell phone plan. This, Clark says, limits large numbers of people to getting their information on small screens that are not conducive to reading long stories full of nuance and context.
How many hours could you spend reading something on your smartphone before it's just like, yeah, you can only zoom so far and it's too, you know, you're trying to scroll and it's different than on an iPad or a tablet versus a, you know, a laptop and then versus desktop.
For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Scott Morgan in Rock Hill.